You're listening to What the Dev, the weekly podcast of SD Times. And now, here's Jenna Barron, news editor at SD Times.
Hello, everyone. Today, we're going to be talking to Juliana Lamb, co-founder and CTO of Stitch, about how to improve and evolve engineering processes. Before launching Stitch, she was a software engineer herself, so she not only has experience leading engineering efforts, but also has experience of being an engineer herself. Thanks for coming on, Juliana.
Awesome. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, it's really great to have you. So when it comes to improving engineering processes, it's not just about optimizing workflows or investing in tooling that maybe better supports collaboration. There's also the human aspect of things that can be really important. So in your experience, how does the dynamic of a team itself contribute to engineering efficiency?
Yeah, I think the culture of a team is almost like more important than exactly sort of like what the processes are that you have in place, and sort of matching your processes to that team culture is how you're going to be most successful. So I think if you have a really high sort of like agency ownership team, focusing more on kind of like context setting, making sure you have good goals, good sort of like direction for the team is going to be super important. So maybe that's spending more time upfront with like design doc, spec phase of a project and like getting everyone aligned, and then giving more sort of like freedom for people to sort of like build the project and plan as they see fit. If you're in a team that requires a little bit more sort of like hands-on sort of like direction and just like sort of goal setting, then having more sort of like in the weeds processes about how you're planning, you know, week to week, sprint to sprint is going to be really important. And so I think sort of understanding like, what is that team culture? What kind of structure do people need to succeed? How do they want to work? And then sort of figuring out, okay, what are the interfaces that we need to work with in terms of like, not just how your team does planning, but how other teams are planning, how the company as a whole is planning, and making sure that you're able to like still, you know, sort of communicate out like progress on projects and whatnot. I think that piece is super important, but doesn't necessarily mean there's like a one size fits all sort of planning process that's, you know, the best planning process. It's very team dependent.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any advice for like, if you have a lot of people on a team and they don't all have kind of the same needs, like, is there a way to kind of meet the needs of everyone while still kind of catering to the team as a whole?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think figuring out kind of like what is, you know, maybe like the minimum amount of process that everyone needs to uphold so that, you know, other teams are able to have context on like the status of a project, that sort of thing. So, you know, maybe it's like a week by week granularity is kind of like the level of detail that is really important to share out sort of outwards of the team. Then I think you can kind of like use that as kind of like the minimum. And so for people who are really high ownership and like super on top of, you know, their own project management, just sort of give them that constraint and then let them figure out like how they're planning, you know, day by day, task by task, and then work with people who maybe need like a little bit more sort of like in-depth planning to like build that project plan, you know, cut all of the tickets, potentially put that in your tracking system, and sort of like be able to like customize in some ways. I think often see that with like, you know, a more junior engineer that is, you know, maybe leading their first project or something like that. Oftentimes like being a little bit more in the weeds as an engineering manager and helping them kind of like build that plan can be really helpful. And then giving them more freedom in future iterations, once they've sort of like figured out, okay, what are the things that typically happen? What information is like really important for me to be communicating outward so that if I have other teams that are, you know, dependent on my work, like they have contacts so that I can like predict how long this project is going to take, all of those things. I think sort of the more reps you have doing that, the more you kind of like understand often the context and know what needs to be broken down versus what you can say, okay, this is like a good enough plan. It's directionally correct. And I have confidence that I know what's going to happen here. So I think it really comes down to kind of like defining what is that sort of, you know, minimum amount of process, and then being flexible on going sort of deeper with individuals and building more process into how they're working.
Right. How can team leads kind of assess what would work best for their teams? Do you have any advice for figuring out like what each individual team member needs in terms of process?
Yeah, I think digging in with individuals can be really valuable here. So, you know, asking questions like, you know, what's like slowing you down in your work, or like what's preventing you from, you know, moving more quickly, or like being able to like, yeah, do your project more quickly, I think will give you interesting insights. And the answer there sometimes is that there's too much process, and sometimes it's that there's not enough. It's sort of like listening to like, okay, what are the things that are slowing them down? Is it that they're having to like spend a bunch of cycles waiting on, you know, another team that they're dependent on for some work? That might signal that there's actually like not quite enough process, because you're not planning ahead for those things and making sure that you are like lining up the work that you're doing with the timeline another team is going to have for doing the work that your project is dependent on. If they're saying, oh, I'm just like spending all day like writing tickets about the work that I'm going to do and very little time like coding, right? Like that might signal that there's maybe too much process. I think also understanding like kind of what is the team celebrating can be interesting here. The team is celebrating like the metrics of their project management, like, you know, how many tickets are you closing in a week? How accurately are you like predicting the work that you're doing? Or what does your like burn down chart look like? I think there's like interesting signal there, but if that's like the thing that you're celebrating over the impact of the work that you're doing, that probably signals that you're like a little too focused on process and not focused enough on kind of like the impact you're delivering to customers. And so that could be a signal that people are kind of like focusing on the wrong things, or you're like over sort of like rewarding process at the expense of like celebrating the actual work that the team is doing.
Right. Like most attempts to improve things in the tech field, I imagine this is not like a one and done thing, and you have to constantly be looking for ways to improve. Do you have any recommendations on how engineering leaders can implement this idea of continuous improvement to this?
Yeah, I think understanding kind of like when are good inflection points or points in time to take that step back. You know, oftentimes it could be at like the quarterly planning phase, where you're kind of like coming up with a plan for the quarter, right? That could be a really good opportunity to like do a quick retro and kind of like understand, you know, how did the last quarter go? What are some of the things that are slowing us down? And does that indicate that we should be spending more upfront time planning? Does that indicate that we're spending way too much time planning? I think that's a really natural point in time to do it. I think other sort of like changes in the org, like, you know, maybe there's a reorg or something like that. New engineering manager comes in. Those are all really good opportunities too. But I think if you're also just like seeing and feeling frustration on the team, just pulling at that string a little bit and trying to figure out sort of like, what is some of the root cause of this? Are there problems that you could be addressing? So I think like, at minimum, I think like having a moment at sort of like that quarterly planning phase to sort of like reevaluate just a little bit can be really helpful. But sometimes there'll be other inflection points that make more sense as well.
Yeah, that quarterly planning idea seems good, because it coincides with maybe other types of planning in terms of like work. Switching gears a little bit, one trend that we've sort of been seeing over the last several years is this push for engineers to have more ownership over what they're working on. What are the benefits to that practice, and how does that impact engineering decisions?
Yeah, I think this can create a lot of sort of like value for the team, and can be like a really fun way to work as an engineer. I think I always really valued having a lot of ownership over the work that I was doing. And so I always gravitated towards startups, and then started my own company, which I think is like kind of the ultimate form of like having a lot of ownership over the work that you're doing. And I think, you know, people sort of like want that to varying degrees, but I think like understanding the why behind what you're doing can be really motivating and can be exciting to, yeah, have that tight connection between engineering work that you're doing and how that's going to impact customers, whether, you know, those are internal teams that are your customers, external teams, doesn't matter, like understanding kind of like the connection between the work that you're doing, the impact that it's going to have. I think that also is really valuable to give engineers freedom to make more sort of like decisions about their work on their own. I think that can just really sort of like accelerate things, and beyond just being, I think, a really fun way to work, lets you, I think, accomplish more as a team if you're not having to constantly get feedback and buy-in from a bunch of different stakeholders. You know, always having to like, you know, wait on product to make a call on something. If an engineer can like, you know, have a bug come in and triage that really quickly and say, oh, I understand like that this is, you know, something that's going to be really high impact because it's going to impact customers in this way, or it really clearly aligns with like these company goals that we have. You know, I'm just going to like, you know, knock that bug out instead of like spending a ton of time trying to prioritize it, because that can often lead to just sort of, you know, a ever-growing backlog. And sometimes like it takes more time to prioritize a bug than it does to just fix it once you have the context to have already triaged it. And so if you have really good sort of like visibility and transparency around kind of like company goals, what you're doing, team goals, how you as a team can be delivering value to customers, I think it lets engineers make so many of those micro decisions in a really fast and efficient way that is also, I think, exciting. I think, yeah, feeling like you are able to make those decisions is fun, right? Like, I think no one loves being just like told what to do all the time. And so the more context you can build, the more you can get engineers sort of, you know, making those decisions and helping figure out what to build, not just building the thing that they're told.
Yeah, totally. How can companies better facilitate like enabling this higher ownership among their engineers?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And I think something we're like always trying to do better. We spend a lot of time working on this, and I think it's still like a constant thing, because you want to like find the right balance between, you know, protecting engineers' time and not sort of like overloading them with information necessarily, but making sure that the right information is flowed down and they have the right context. I think having good kind of like company level, team level goals is really valuable there, because then you can use those to sort of, you know, weigh trade-offs. Am I going to spend time on this thing that, you know, potentially impacts this goal, or am I going to spend time on this other thing that doesn't really have a clear line to impacting goals? Might be valuable, but maybe not as sort of like important or urgent as the other thing. So I think those goals are really important. I think having a lot of context on kind of like prioritization decisions, why you're doing the things that you're doing. And I think giving engineers some space too in sort of like the project process to make some of those decisions, like finding the right balance of like product doc having a bunch of sort of, you know, user stories and different edge cases thought through that need to be thought through in order to build a product that works the way you need it to, but still giving like some freedom to engineers to kind of like help define that and maybe bring them into some of the conversations as they're sort of like figuring out, okay, we want to work on this project. Why is it important? Who is this serving? Like, what is customer feedback that's leading us to prioritize this thing? I think that can be a good way to sort of like build some context on like a project by project basis. And then I think there's also just ways to kind of like flow down information ad hoc here and there. I think it depends a lot on, are you like a B2B company that is building, you know, for other other companies, or are you doing consumer? Because this might look very different, or B2B. And so what we'll do is, like, we have a Friday deal review every other week where our solutions engineering team will basically, like, talk through deals that they're working on. They'll pick a few examples and sort of talk through how the prospect is, like, going to use the product, feedback they've heard. And that can be a really good way to just sort of, like, really, like, connect the dots between, okay, the work that engineering is doing is, like, directly impacting this customer. And, you know, they're really excited about these features that we offer, and they're running into some pain points here and there. Like, I think that sort of, like, visibility can be really helpful, and figuring out kind of, like, okay, what is the right structure for your team to flow that information down? Is it a live meeting? Is it sharing that context out in Slack or something like that? But trying to kind of, like, bring some of that transparency, I think, can be really helpful too.
Before we wrap things up here, I wanted to ask, is there, like, a key takeaway from our conversation that you could give our listeners?
I think it's that finding the right process for your team isn't sort of, like, finding the best process out there, but it's really understanding the context of your team, how they're going to do their best work, and sort of working backwards from there to figure out what is the right process that's going to uniquely suit your team and set them up for the most success.
Right. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I feel like you always see, like, articles and blog posts and stuff where it's, like, trying to be, like, very prescriptive of, like, these are the best ways to do things. But it really does come down to, like, well, what works for you, not, like, what works for people in general. So.
Exactly.
Well, thank you so much for coming on to talk with me.
Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, and I hope everyone listening is also able to take away something valuable from this conversation and maybe even implement a thing or two.